Hey guys, you're listening to another podcast from Detonate Youth at C3 Church San Diego. If you'd like to find out more, go to www.detonateyouth.com. We hope you enjoy.
Awesome. How cool is that? So, like I said, we're talking about giant slayers tonight. So that little kid was a little bit unsuccessful in slaying his giant. As you can see, now that's one of the number one YouTube videos right now, and it's actually in Australia. Weird. Yeah, so this little kid's picking on this big dude, and so he's had enough. So if, like any gentleman would do, body slams the man on the concrete to teach him a lesson. So giant slaying, talking about giant slayers tonight. You know what I honestly believe is you guys sitting here tonight are a bunch of giant slayers, are a bunch of people sitting here going to slay giants. And you're like, what does that mean? I'm not David. We're not living 1,000 years ago. What, slaying giants? The only giant I know is on the NBA. I'm not going to, or Quinn. Where's Quinn? Quinn's a giant. Don't, after the service, don't be going up to Quinn trying to take him down or anything like that. But yeah, he'll body slam you. I've seen him do it to me. Just messing with him too much, and he had enough and body slammed me right on the concrete. You got your Bibles? Turn to 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 40. Going to read something and talk about giant slayers. Talking about taking down giants tonight. You know, I believe that you guys in here are called to take down giants, are called as a generation that God is actually raising up to take down giants, in the world. That the enemy is actually a giant. The devil is a giant trying to get in and destroy people's lives. And so you guys in here, God is raising you up as giant slayers. Is actually what the enemy is doing. You're going to come in and counterattack that. And what he has intended for bad, God's going to use you to turn it into something good. And so we're going to talk about that. I really want you to know that you're a giant slayer. And for us to get into that place, for us to get to the place where we actually slay giants, we have to deal with a few things first. We got to get through a few issues in our life to get to that place where God empowers us to take down giants. So we're going to talk about a few things tonight, a few areas that we have to push through in our lives to take down giants. You know what I love? Does anybody love man movies in here? Anybody a fan of man movies? I love man movies. You know what's cool in man movies is the star, no matter what, the star, the suspense builds and builds and builds, and the star always has issues in his life. He always has little giants that he has to deal with, always has to get by little giants, always has to deal with things, and then he moves on and defeats the enemy in the movie. And you know how you can tell when the scene is coming, when the hero in the movie is moving on and he's taking down his little giants? Well, everything slows in the movie for one. And then you see the man standing in front of a mirror. And the way you know he's about, everything in the movie's about to shift, is he starts shaving his face. Starts shaving the face, taking the beard off the face. That's how you know that in the movie, when things are about to shift and change in the movie, the hero has dealt with like alcoholism or girlfriends or whatever has been going on in his life. You know that he's about to shift and defeat the enemy when he's in the mirror and shaving, unless that man is Chuck Norris. And then actually his beard grows in the mirror. So he has some guys who will shave and then everything shift. And then you have Chuck Norris, that he stands in the mirror clean shaven, and right in front of him the beard grows, and then you know, you better watch out. Chuck Norris is coming. Does anybody know the Chuck Norris theme song? No? In the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you, because that's where the ranger's gonna be. So make sure you're watching your back when you're in Texas breaking the law. He'll get you. You ever seen his roundhouse kicks? He'll take you out. So really tonight, and I'm going to go quickly because I believe in quick messages, powerful altar calls, and getting you guys out of here on fire for God. So it's going to be really, really good. So tonight we're going to learn how to take down our giants. You guys with me? You guys want to take down some giants tonight? You want to be giant slayers in this place? You want to be warriors ready to take down some giants happening up in here? So we need to raise up. You guys need to step into the place where you're taking down giants, where you're ready to go out into the world and see things happen and see things shift in the life. The Bible says in Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He roams around like a roaring lion. Do you know that the reason he roams around like a roaring lion is because nobody's opposing him? We're allowing him to roam around like a lion at free because we don't want to mess with him. We don't want to mess with the scary lion. We don't want to mess with this thing going on. Who's ever heard of Siegfried and Roy? Las Vegas show, Siegfried and Roy. So they like to play with tigers, white tigers especially. So one time Roy, Siegfried is his partner. Roy is playing with a white tiger in Las Vegas. Well, of course it's going to happen. He's trying to entertain the crowd, playing with the white tiger, cuddling the white tiger. And of course, like any vicious wild animal does, the animal attacks Roy and mauls Roy in the middle of this crowd, and Roy has to get put in the hospital. He's all mauled and disfigured for the rest of his life because he's trying to play with a wild animal. Has anybody seen Captain Planet? Anybody? Captain Planet? He's our hero, gonna take pollution down to zero. Earth, wind, fire, water, heart. So what I don't understand in Captain Planet is Mowgli, whatever his name is, I'm going to just call him Mowgli. He's got a ring of heart. So I'm wondering, did he get the short end of the straw? Like what? Heart. Yeah, you get fire, water, wind. What do I get? Heart. That's cool. So there's a scene in Captain Planet where this bear is coming at him. Ferocious, killing bear. Bear designed to eat food to survive. Bears are incredible. Can outrun a human. They're giant. Bear's coming at the Planeteers. Right? So one of them's like, we can't burn them because we love animals. So I can't burn them. The other guy's like, I can't make a hole in the ground because he'll get sucked in and we'll hurt the animal. And the girls are like, we can't drown him because God loves animals and we love animals. And the other girl's like, I can't blow him away because it'll mess his hair up and all these things. And Mowgli's like, I know, let's give him some heart. And so you see this scene of Mowgli with his heart ring and he's like, giving the bear heart, and then you see the bear's like, and I'm watching it, and I love Captain Planet, because with their powers combined, he is Captain Planet, but other than that, you give a bear more heart, he's only going to do what he was designed to do, so I'm like, you kind of, doesn't make sense. When you actually give him more heart, he's actually going to grow even more and come and maul you and take you down. So Captain Planeteers and Roy got it wrong because they're trying to befriend these wild, vicious animals and pet them and love on them and be kind to them and kind of just befriend these vicious, wild animals. And so many times that's what we are doing with the enemy who's roaming around like a roaring lion when actually we are meant to oppose that force. We're actually meant to hunt that. We're not meant to sit back and befriend these wild animals. We're actually supposed to be the hunters for these wild animals. Like I said before, the reason that the enemy roams around like a roaring lion is because we're not opposing him. We're not putting him, locking him up in his cage and throwing him a slab of meat and letting him eat that. So we got to step it up, guys. We got to step it up a notch tonight. Step it up and say, you know what? We're going to oppose the enemy. We're going to oppose what he's doing. We do that by dealing with a few things in our lives. Three quick points tonight to show you, man, how to tame those giants. Because we all deal with giants in our lives. Tonight, you're dealing with a giant in your life, I guarantee it. Something that's opposing you. Maybe you've tried to step it up a notch. And every time you feel like you're getting out of something, bam, you get hit again. Bam, you get hit again. Maybe it's depression, or maybe it's drugs, or maybe it's peer pressure in school. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's whatever it is. Maybe it's self-hatred. Maybe it's hatred to other people, anger towards your parents. And every time you feel like you've dealt with something, that giant comes up and squashes you like a bug again. Well, tonight we're going to deal with those things. Tonight I'm telling you that God's plan for your life in here is to actually rise above that. It's to actually defeat those giants. David, with a sling and a stone, took down a giant. That's what you guys are going to do. We're going to deal with some giants in our own personal life so that when we go out of here tonight, we can take down the giant that's roaming around like a roaring lion. When you go back into your school, when you go back into your high school, you're actually going to take down that giant. That giant that's been roaming around freely because we've allowed him to roam around freely, you're going to take him down. You know, with God, all things are possible. You know, the Bible says, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So the God who lives inside of you is greater than the devil roaming around out there. Greater. Much greater. And with him, you can do anything. You guys with me tonight? Is that cool? This will be good tonight. Boom. Cool. Number one, you guys got pen? You guys got to write this down. I don't want to brag, but this is going to be good. Okay? So you want to make sure that you write this down. Get your Bibles out. Get a pen. If you have to, etch it in blood in your arm. Giorgio said he'd donate his blood if you want to write with it. Cool? All right, number one, don't let fear and distractions weigh you down. King David, I haven't even read anything. Let me read it. Here's a story of David taking down Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand. He drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. Man, giants don't like dudes who are good-looking. Telling you what, right there. The one thing that Goliath didn't like David, because he was good-looking. He's got some issues, I think. So anyways, going on. So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Come on, tonight. What David did to Goliath is what you're going to do to the enemy right there. God wants to raise you guys up as giant slayers, taking down the enemy, cutting off, severing the head of the enemy tonight. First point again, don't let fear and distractions weigh you down. David, when he was about to fight Goliath, Saul tried to put his armor on David. And David's like, I'm not having any of this, it's too heavy. Don't let distractions get in the way of taking down your giant. Don't let things that the world is trying to put on you get in the way of you taking down your giant. Don't let fear come in and get in the way of you taking down the giants in your life. Let's deal with the giants in our life, take down the enemy, and rise to the place that God has for us. A lot of times we get distracted by guys or girls. How many people, come on, be honest. How many people have ever been distracted by a guy or a girl? Come on. Baby, don't raise your hand. I was never a distraction to her. So what'll happen, guys, is we'll get distracted by guys or girls in our life. They'll distract us and actually kind of sometimes will tear us out of the house of God. You know how you can tell when a guy or girl is right for you? When they actually help you stay planted in the house of God. I knew Brianna was right for me because when I was with her, I couldn't help but being planted in church. That's how I knew. You know how a guy or girl is right for you? When they encourage you to be in Detonate. When they encourage you to be in the house of God. But so often, we let those distractions, the guys and the girls, when, oh my gosh, I love her. I got to be with her because I love her. I'll tell you a story. I had one girlfriend besides my wife growing up. I know, you can laugh, but don't, because I'll. So she was my second girlfriend, and then my first girlfriend I thought I loved. I'm like, oh, I'm going to marry her. She broke up with me one day, and I'm like, oh, my God, my life's going to go. I don't know what to do. Seriously, and I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. I was bawling. I was in the Navy. I was actually going through Navy SEAL training as a man, and I'm crying because a girl broke up with me. I needed somebody to slap me in the face because this girl broke up with me because I let distractions get in the way. And so we have to get to a place, guys, when we're not distracted by those things. When we're actually focused, when we're like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll date a girl, but it's not going to get me out of the house of God. It's not going to get my focus off of what's important, get my focus off of God. We can't let fear get in the way either. Guy named Moses in the Bible, God comes and says, hey, check it out, Moses. I want you to go down there, tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And Moses has a stutter. It's like, God, I can't go down there and do that because I got a stutter. And God's like, no, dude, do it. It's going to be awesome. Don't understand. You can't go down there and do it. God's like, no, man, you're going to be awesome. It's going to be cool. God, don't get stuttering. God's like, well, kind of. No, God's like, no, dude, I'm telling you, you can do it. And finally, Moses convinces God. God's like, fine, you know what, dude, forget it. I'm going to have Aaron. He's going to speak for you. And I read that, and I'm like, oh, sweet, cool, yeah, Aaron's going to do it. But I read that, I'm like, man, what if Moses, when God said, Moses, go, Moses said, because God told me, I will go. But so, even if I'm afraid, even if I have a stutter, even if I can't talk, I will go because God is sending me. Guys, we can't live a what if. Man, what if I would have went? What if? What if? Don't let fear come in and distract you. Don't let fear get in your life and tear you away from where God actually wants you to go. We got to deal with those giants. Second one, you guys cool with me? Make sure you're writing these down. Live a life filled with purpose. Live a life filled with purpose. You know, we can fill our lives with so many other purposes, so many other things that seem important in our life. I'm not saying school's not important because it is. But man, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added. That means seek after God, seek after the things of God, and everything else is going to be taken care of in our life. What we sometimes do is we think, if we just go super hard for school, if we just go super hard for this thing, that's going to fulfill us. Nothing is going to fulfill you like being in the house of God. Nothing's going to fulfill you like connecting to our God. Man, tonight you're facing giants. You're facing things in your life that have hurt you, that have brought you down, that have destroyed you. But if you focus and you actually turn and focus on God, focus on the things of God, get your purpose right. What are you living for? There's purpose, and you got to go for it. Cool little story of greyhounds. Anybody see greyhound races? So what happens is this guy pulls a lever, and this fake bunny goes racing around the track, and they open the gates. Greyhounds go run, and they never catch the bunny. Every once in a while, they'll catch the bunny, but they run after them. That's how they get the greyhounds to race. Well, one time, this guy released the lever. Bunny goes running around. So they open the gates. Greyhounds running after this bunny. Well, in the middle of this bunny running around the track, the bunny busts into flames, just stops. Well, the greyhounds don't know what to do. It's like, oh, so some of the greyhounds just keep running around in circles. Some of the other greyhounds actually run over and over again into the side of the walls, breaking some of their ribs, destroying them. Another dog is chasing their tail around in circles because they don't know what to do. See, the reason that the greyhounds were doing that is because the purpose and their focus was all messed up. They were focusing on the wrong thing. See, sometimes in our lives, guys, we get focused on that little bunny that's running around the track because at the moment, at the time, it actually looks good. It actually looks, that's the most important thing in my life. Well, can I tell you tonight, guys, that when you focus on God, that when you put your eyes on the God, you will never, that bunny is never going to blow up. That bunny's never going to stop going. You're actually going to go. See, when you fill your lives with the purposes of the world, they're temporary. They only last for a little while. But when you actually say, I'm going after the purposes of God, then you're going after an everlasting purpose, a purpose that you can never get to, because with God, it's always going up. You're always going to another level. With God, you're always rising up to this thing and this thing and this thing. It's a purpose that will always leave you high, that will always leave you excited for the next thing. Fill your life with purpose. What are you living for? What are you living for? Are you living for the next girlfriend you're going to hook up with, the next guy you're going to get with, the next sip of something? The next joint you're going to smoke, is that you living day to day like that? Or are you living with the purpose of serving God with everything in you? We got to take down our giants. Take down those things in our life that are distracting us, that are getting our eyes off of God, getting our focus all messed up. A great example is Secretariat. Anybody seen that movie? It's a Disney movie, so you can laugh at me. I'll watch Disney movies. I grew up on Disney movies, so I watched it. Secretariat was a racehorse. Back in World War II, back a few years ago, a racehorse won all the races. A great, great racehorse that won. The reason that he was so great is Secretariat, they said that he was born to run. He was born, his body, his shape, his stature, everything about him was born to run. And instead of him just sitting in a field and just grazing and then dying, they actually trained him into a racehorse, and he ran, and he won. He won those races because he was born to run. You guys in here are born to run a race. And what the enemy has done so well, as God has born you and he has formed you to run a race. He's actually, every single person in here, God has chosen and sculpted like a clay. He's like, yeah, I want him like that, just like that, perfect, looks just like that, eyes like that, heart like that, character like that, to run the race that God has for you. But what we do is we put ourselves in a pasture and we never fulfill the race that God has for us. We have to run that race with God. When we run that race, we run with purpose, run with desire. And God fills you, and God will empower you to run that race. Tonight, we got to live with purpose. Got to live with purpose. Tonight, third one. Last one. You guys can come up, Jamesy. Come on up, man. Let's get some tombs vibing in this place. This is going to be good, man. We're going to do a great altar call tonight, man. Lives are going to be changed. You can feel a stirring in your heart right now, a stirring of God moving in you, inspiring you to step up to the next level. I'm looking at world changes. I'm telling you, I'm looking at world changes. Torrey Pines High School, 5,000 kids. Canyon Crest High School, a few thousand kids. La Costa Canyon, another 5,000 kids. All over the world, it's our mission field to go into those schools, to infiltrate those schools, and to show your students and your peers who God is. Who's the God that we serve? Man, the God that I serve isn't boring, isn't lame. The God that I serve is exciting, is fun, is awesome. Is always keeping me on the edge. Man, I'm always excited to serve God. There's nothing greater than serving in the house of God. I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, went through training, all that stuff, and I thought that was the greatest thing I could ever do. It doesn't even come close to serving God. Doesn't even come close. Because when you serve God, you get filled with such a purpose in your life. You get filled with such a fire that you can keep going in your life. We got to take down giants. We got to take down the little giants in our life that are standing up. That every time you feel it, every time you try to move past this thing, every time you try to put this thought out of your head or deal with this thing, it keeps popping up and popping up. And you've come to a place in your life where you're like, I can't go on. I can't keep doing this. When you do things on your own, it's impossible. But when you connect to God, all things become possible. All things change and shift in your life. Last point, we got to remember. We got to remember. You're like, remember what? We got to remember the God who died for us on a cross. Remember what he did for us. Remember why he did it and how he did it. And now how we live because of the reason he did it. It's a great story of a guy, Dr. Rue, I think is his name, trying to find a cure for black diphtheria. Crazy disease, killing tons of people. It's actually 300 babies at that time infected with black diphtheria, saying they're going to die. There's no cure. So this doctor is fed up. He goes into the woods with all these horses. He's like, I'm going to find a cure. So he gets about 20 horses, gets a bucket of this plague that he has, gets a swab out of it, goes to all the horses, swabs their nose, and puts it in their mouth because he wants to find a cure for this disease. And one by one, the horses start dying. Start dying. All of them but one is dead. And the one that's still alive is so sick, they're like, there's no hope for him. So the night they go to sleep, and the doctor's like, dude, you keep an eye on him. If anything changes, you let me know. So through the night, this horse is sick, about to die. And the guy who's checking on him sees that his temperature actually dropped half a degree. So he's like, oh, I'll go tell the doctor. So he goes and gets the doctor, gets him up. Doctor goes in. By the time the doctor gets there, his temperature's actually dropped another couple degrees. By the time the morning comes, the horse is up, standing up, eating again, because his body has fought and his immune system has actually defeated this disease. So the doctor, it might seem cruel, he actually grabs a sledgehammer, hits the horse in the head and kills it. Takes all the blood out of the horse, rushes to the hospital. They get all the immunities out of it, antibodies and things that are in it that are killing this disease. And they go to these babies and they inject them with this cure for this disease. And all but three babies live. Only three out of 300 die because this horse overcame this disease. See, what happens in our life is we forget that when Jesus died on the cross for us, his blood was shed, and now his blood is running through your body. His blood is now running through your veins. And the blood of an overcomer, the blood that overcame sin, the blood that overcame death, that overcame sickness, that overcame things, is now the blood that pumps through your heart so you can do anything. We got to remember who we serve. Greater is he who lives in us than he that's in the world. Greater is my God than that slimy devil out there. You know, we can be really scared of the dark because the dark, you can't see anything, so it gets really scary. But you know, the only reason that dark comes is because light goes. It's not like darkness comes in and light's like, oh, flip, darkness, get out of here. It's not like that. The only reason darkness comes is because the sun sets. You can't walk into a place and shine a flash dark and put out light. You can't. But you can walk into a dark room, turn on a flashlight, and darkness disappears. We have to see you guys are light. You guys are light. And when you walk into a room that's dark, darkness flees. Darkness can't do anything to you. There's nothing, no matter how, if darkness gets all the darkness in the world, he's like, okay, we're taking out this light. Let's get him. Not all the darkness in the world can take out a little light that's in your hand. Can't do it. So we have to remember, guys, that the light that lives in us, man, nothing we can't do. Nothing we can't do. So why don't you close your eyes tonight, man? Why don't we all stand to our feet, too? Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Tonight, Jesus, tonight we say we take down our giants. We take down our giants. Tonight, if you're in this place tonight, if you're in this place tonight and you're saying, you know what, I need to reconnect to God. I need to reconnect with my God, my King tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You're saying, tonight, I need to get something right. I've been living for myself. I've been living for other things. And tonight, I want to say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Come and change me tonight. If you're in this place saying that, you know, there's a struggle going on inside of you tonight. Inside of you, every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. I don't want there to be any distractions in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Make a decision tonight saying, I need God in my life. I need God in my life. Thank you, God. Band's going to play. Band's going to go into a song tonight. And I want you guys, if you're in here saying, that's me tonight, that's me, I'm making a decision that I'm stepping out from the crowd. I'm stepping out and I'm getting my life right with God. I'm moving up. I'm saying, God, tonight I come to you. Tonight I worship you. I want you to do something Super Bowl tonight. I want you to make your way out of your seats and come down here because I want to say hi to you. I want to meet you. You're saying, I want to give my life to God. Come on out here. Come on out. You're awesome. Come on out here. You want to say that tonight. You're awesome. Come on out here. Come on out. Come on out. You're saying, I want to get my life right with God. You guys are awesome. Greatest decision. Do you know, greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is right now. Greatest decision. So why don't we all close our eyes, and everybody in here, why don't you repeat after me? Everybody, and especially you guys down in front, just repeat what I say. So we're going to ask God to come into our lives tonight, and tonight you're going to leave here different. Cool? So everybody repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you in my life tonight, come and change me. I give you everything that I am. Make me a new creation. My heart is yours. I give everything I am to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. You guys are awesome.
Thanks for listening to another life-changing podcast by Detonate Youth at C3 Church San Diego. We hope you go out blessed and are ready to take on the world.